Hey, Julie.
Hey, Julie.
Welcome to Hey, Julie, a.k.a. Hey, Jeff, a podcast about Survivor and Big Brother and other things. Danielle, how are you? Happy Saturday.
Happy Saturday, indeed. I've never been better. It's finally beautiful weather here in Toronto. I just took a full week off work. I was I was on PTO. I was enjoying my life, and it was fantastic.
You just took a year off.
That's such a childless person thing to say. Oh, yeah. I was on vacation the whole year. I was having a baby.
Yeah. I actually took a day off this week as well. So I enjoyed one fifth, 20% of your joy this week.
Well, the thing I did, here's a hot tip, and I'm sure I'm not the first person to discover this, but for any other of my fellow Hey, Julie parents out there, is like, you take a week off, but you keep the kid in school or daycare, for most of the days. So she went to school while we enjoyed our lives with, like, babysitting during the day, essentially. And then on Thursday and Friday, we went to the wilderness and we brought her on a little, shall I say, camping trip.
So if if someone who wasn't either of us won a reward challenge, you would give the little puppy dog eyes like, but I have a child, I've made the ultimate sacrifice.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'd be standing there like, what? I don't get chips also?
No chips. No,
I'd be like, jam, ready. Jam. But yep, everyone has a family.
I know.
Well, I don't want letters from my family less. I want letters from my family less because I don't have a child. I don't support it.
Maybe. But it was a great time. So I'm floating on air, having a great, great week.
Great. How was the wilderness?
It was very fun. You know, we went to Lake Huron, which is beautiful.
One of the great lakes, right?
It is a great lake.
And you guys have access to half of them, right?
Yeah, we can go to all of the lakes.
All of them.
I could go to any lake I wanted if I wanted to. You know, I'm an adult. But we did go to Lake Huron, and it's beautiful. The water is like a Caribbean blue. It's stunning. Yeah.
Whoa.
Don't have to worry about sharks.
Do something about that. We got to get some American industrial companies. We got to get
spill some oil.
all the train stuff. We got to get them working on those lakes. Survivor, exactly. Danielle. I think that gets
Survivor,
us in
Brett.
Somehow. R.I.P. our girl.
I know.
America's
Franny,
girl.
Franny couldn't stand the test of timey. She had to go. I was trying to think of a rhyme with Franny. Fran had to go. She was too much of a comp beast. She won the fun challenge when she should have won the immunity challenge. I know she could have possibly won both, but I mean, what can you say? She won too much. And then they kept voted her out over Danny.
You know, and I think who this all comes down to is little Harry Potter.
It is. It does come down to Harry Potter, a little snitch. He's a little backstabber.
Golden snitch. Get out of here, Harry Potter.
A little narc.
I think what it came down to, I don't think Harry Potter was the only person. There were obviously quite a few people who wanted to get Franny out because of her competitive nature, how good she was at everything. She already had one guaranteed vote for $1 million.
Yeah.
Because he wants to live in that, million-dollar penthouse with her, be her little butler. But Lil Carson was threatened. He has this little triumvirate, this little trifecta with Jam Jam and Carolyn, and he felt that Carolyn was cozying up too much to Franny. And he, you know, little Harry Potter, he's like the abusive husband. He's just like, I see you making a friend, the friend's gone, the friend's been whacked. I haven't seen Goodfellas in a while, but it was like a very Goodfellas move, something that Ray Liotta would do to Lorraine Bracco.
Yeah, absolutely. He has to keep them in line. Like, yeah, they're kooky, they're fun, but the second they start really thinking for themselves or trying to make a play or a strategy, he's like, I don't think so. Got to keep your friends close, real close.
It's interesting how much of this game is about, like, how important people realize Carolyn's vote is.
We wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah, no, that's great.
We wouldn't have it any other way.
And later in the episode, too, when Carolyn's like, why don't we just vote out Heidi? Carolyn was like Kendall Roy on the eve of a massive product launch. Like she had this glimmer in her eye, like, I see it. I see
it.
I'm gonna do the quarterly stockholder meeting. And you're like, no, Carolyn, what are you doing?
She is, I'm concerned, flying a little too close to the sun though.
Wow. But she was brought back down low again. Like Franny sorted out and you see the joy sucked out of her. She's like so sad again. She's at the bottom again. And not that she wouldn't have voted out Franny, but she was she wasn't included in that because everyone knew she liked Franny because Franny gave her some chips and a virgin margarita.
I loved the excitement over the margaritas.
Tacos! A virgin margarita for those who are sober or 20 years old.
It's so good. It did make me want a margarita, full elk. We do, just while we're on the topic of Franny, we have a question from Marco Vettino. Who would you bring, since we were also talking about the reward, who would you bring with you if you were Franny? Brett.
She was in a tough spot because she picks Carolyn. She goes, I got to pick Carolyn. I know how much she misses her son. So then you have to take all the moms. You have to.
Yeah.
You can't do that and then be like, also, Jam, like, look at him. Like, he's used to eating more than everybody else. He needs some food.
Aww.
You know? So you have to stick with it. It's so hard when they do that because it's like, you won an award. You won a reward by yourself. You're going to go by yourself. Oh, yeah. Just pick one person.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Pick just one more. We promise this is it. Just pick one more. Okay, pick just one more. Like, that's just twisting the knife.
It's pretty evil. Jeff.
Yeah.
I would pick the person who I thought would eat not that much. Like, leave the most food for me. Pardon?
So you could have more?
Yeah, exactly. I thought, like, I would pick whoever doesn't seem like they actually have that much of an appetite. Like, I'd pick someone who won a reward last week and ate last week or, you know, however many days ago. Because then they're not that hungry and they would leave more for me.
I would pick my enemies. I want my enemies close to me. I don't want you sitting back at the camp being like, damn, Brady, he's so good at challenges. He's eating my brownies right now. He's eating my blooming onion. I want my homies at camp on watch, making sure everything is good. I want my enemies here next to me, feeling safe, feeling like they aren't my enemy.
That's true.
I would have to do some damage control, but I think I would probably lean towards taking my enemies.
Yeah. I think that's a good strategy. I want to bring up something jumping way to Tribal Council.
Sure, let's go.
So during Tribal Council, Danny said that he and Lauren, the problem with going to Tribal Council is that, like, he likes everyone. You know, he actually has really great one-on-one relationships with everyone. And that's what makes it hard is, like, you do have to vote someone out. And I just have a really big problem with that. And I think that's what makes Survivor, especially recently, not as compelling, is that they all really like each other. And there's no, I just miss someone giving a confessional being like, he's annoying, or like, he sucks, or she is not my cup of tea. She rubs me the wrong way. Like, I know we got it a little bit with Jamie earlier in the season when she was like
me and Jamie, or with Jamie and other people.
I think it was actually Danny and Jamie. It was someone saying that, like, Jamie's a little too high energy. But I was just like, yeah, that's the problem with this season. And maybe the last couple of seasons.
The last five seasons, basically.
It's like, yeah, if there's no social relationships that are, like, slightly more, either slightly more special or slightly more fraught, I get that, like, Matt and Franny had a showmance. That's one thing. But, like, not even any frenemies. We don't even have frenemies of, like, a joking dislike for each other or, like, that. I mean,
Jam and Carolyn were close. Like, there was that brief week where it was like, oh, yeah, they hate each other now. And then they're back to being in love with each other.
Yeah, I miss more conflict. I'd miss it.
Because I've been watching a ton of old seasons, as we've discussed. And as recently as, like, seasons in the low 30s, there's, like, people who fucking hate each other. People who think that the other ones are idiots. People giving non-apology apologies during the reunion special. I wonder if... I promise you I'm not turning into Tucker Carlson now. I wonder if... consciousness of quote unquote cancel culture is getting in the way of that in two different ways. The first being maybe CBS is casting less problematic people. Maybe CBS is like, we don't want the guy who is saying horrible things about women or saying horrible things about this sexuality or this gender. Maybe fewer of those undesirable people are even making it onto the deplorables are making it onto Survivor. Second, I wonder if now we're in 2023, people see the cast sees, and maybe they're even coached up beforehand, they see how easy it is for one thing to snowball, and then all of a sudden you're the racist guy who is on Survivor or Big Brother or whatever.
But Survivor doesn't even like lend itself to burying people as much, honestly. Like Big Brother does for sure, because everyone can watch the live feeds.
Watch everything.
Everyone can. Yeah, exactly. Whereas Survivor, it's like really what they choose to show you. Like it's possible that these comments are being made and we just don't know about any of it because we're not.
For sure. Like every episode is like 2 or 3 days of real time and we only see 44 minutes of it. And half of that time is devoted to challenges or sitting at tribal council. We only see maybe 15, 20 minutes per episode of what is 2 days of sitting around at camp. I mean, one of the seasons I was watching most recently was, I forget where it was, but it was like, it was the blue collar versus no collar versus red collar. And that was one where in the finale, there had to be 3 separate segments where men had to apologize for being fucking horrible and saying fucking horrible things to women and being super misogynistic. And one guy was really sorry, but you could tell like everything wasn't really adding up fully in his mind. One guy was like definitely not sorry and doubled down and stood behind his faith. Good for you. And I forgot the third guy was. Oh, the other guy was like kind of, you know, he was like, "Well, I'm just from Boston, so you know, like that's
how we are."
Okay, that's what we do in Boston. We mean the women. So that wasn't that long ago. That was like 2015, 2016. So I don't know. Like, hey, listen, not saying that all this conflict has to be, by the way.
Right.
I'm not saying that we want all conflict to be something that is like bordering on racist or misogynist or sexist or any of those things. You can have conflict without any of those things happen.
I hate the way he eats his rice. Oh, my God. He's disgusting. You know, like just anything.
I mean, we did have Jonathan and Lindsay of the Lindsay All-Stars.
Right.
The Brett All-Stars. They were like tight in the beginning because they were on the same team. They were both like really physical, like they were gonna go like live on a mountain together or whatever. And then they hated each other by the end. I mean, he was a bit of a not great to women guy.
He was the pull up king,
but like,
world record,
holder. Pull ups. So I don't know. Maybe they need to like create more of that. Maybe they need to do. It's crazy because like. This is episode 10, right?
Mm-hmm.
Episode 11, 12. There's only 13 episodes in the season. Like,
but there's so many people left.
Yeah, well, one of the things that was driving me nuts, and we complained about it 2 or 3 weeks ago when we had the tribal where Matt went home and only like 4 people could go home that week. It's like the best parts of Survivor is when we are post-merge and we have 12 people sitting there and they're bickering with each other, they're arguing with each other. They are all desperately and independently clinging for life in this game. Yeah. And we just kind of have only had that for like a week or two and the season is over in 2 weeks. So I feel like we kind of missed out on a lot of it. My idea, though, backing it up, I wonder if we have to create like a two tribe sort of, you know, first half of the game, and we have to get them to fucking hate each other. You have to be like, this start tribe, rumors. We're not going to swap people around. We're not going to merge people around until the merge. They're all from, they're all Proud Boys. Just lie. Just be like, they're all Proud Boys. They're all horrible. We found the worst. We found the worst people from January 6th, and we put them on a tribe. That's them. And you tell the other ones, like, yeah, these people, they hate whales. They are pro whaling. They're pro whaling.
They're like the people in the bad guys in Avatar.
Oh my gosh,
that would make me hate them. Started.
But like, what if you? I don't know. Not that it's stupid, but like, what if we do stuff to really get people like juiced up and hate each other and then merge? You know.
My thing is just that, and this is like on a bigger note. I find myself like, it's not that people don't feel these things. It's not like someone isn't staring at Carson or whoever being like, the way that kid eats his fucking rice
is driving me up the wall.
Yeah. It's like that. It's not like that's not happening. And even on a bigger scale, like the things you're saying, like, it's not like some of like, oh, we magically have our casting people who have zero prejudices. Like, no, that doesn't exist. I feel like to some extent, not allowing people to be themselves and air whatever those things are and then have a character growth or learning moment from it is also kind of a miss. It's kind of a missed opportunity. Not that I'm saying any of these people have that, but to have that on TV or have that as part of the entertainment.
We are just rooting here for pro drama, pro chaos.
That's yes. And I'm trying to make it ethical. I'm trying to make it under ethical consumption.
What ethical chaos
here? I don't know. But I do think that is true. That's true of any narrative, any novel, any piece of media, like narrative media. It's like someone has an issue. They learn from it. They grow from it. And then they're better in the end for it. And so are we as the consumer.
Yeah, everyone has their own like story as well. But you do feel that lots of these stories, like, they're kind of pre-baked. Like, they're not seeking redemption or a second chance for something. They're already like,
I had
cancer and I got better. And now I'm here. And it's like, you already did the most interesting thing, like, having watched the Second Chances season somewhat recently as well, that was really interesting because you had a bunch of returning players and all of them lost the game and they all had this reason why they lost and it was very top of mind for all of them. This is why you lost Survivor the first time. And there is this redemption story built into all of that. Like, how can you change as a person? And literally every single tribal council, Jeff is like, man, it seems like you're playing the same way you played the last time and you got voted out because you were a jerk to everyone or because you played too strategically or you like leaned too much on one aspect of your personality. Jeff was calling the cast out for it to their faces right before they voted. Where he would say like, hey, we're doing this competition. You lost this competition 3 years ago. Like, obviously we can't do that every season. And I'm not saying like people who come in to Survivor with their interesting backstory or sob story or whatever, like we shouldn't pay respect to that, like that they're not interesting, but they are kind of like fully baked in a way that there isn't this like narrative of like how winning Survivor completes something for them or not winning Survivor puts this hole in their heart. You know?
It's like screenwriting 101. Not that I would do that at the moment because I'm on strike. But like,
interestingly enough, I have an AI that just told me who won Survivor.
Yeah. But like, you have a flaw. Perhaps it's a fatal flaw, and that's why you lose Survivor again. It's, you know, all those returning players. It's a fatal flaw. They can't get over it. But also a lot of characters have just a flaw that they need to learn a lesson from.
I care too much.
Yeah, I care too much. I'm too sexy. I'm too sexy for my shirt.
I host too good of a podcast.
That would be ours if we were on it. And it's just, you know, people should.
We sit on our high horse.
Food for thought.
We podcast. We think we're better than everybody.
Yeah.
Can't win Survivor.
Yeah,
I can't win Survivor for a number of reasons. I would be a medical evac.
We did have another question about, from Twin Star Phil. They literally voted off the only competition in the game. I guess Danny can finally win something. I wish they'd vote off that short king. Well, more like short prince. Will he sneak to the end? I believe Twin Star Phil is talking about Carson, aka Harry Potter.
Or was she talking about Danny? Danny's also a short king. This is a season of short kings.
Oh, on the day we need clarification.
Of the coronation of our shortest king.
Yeah, exactly. In my eyes, short prince or king would be Carson.
Oh, well, the question was like about Danny, though. I thought, I wish they wrote off that short king, more like short prince. I don't know. I don't know if they're talking about Danny or they're talking about Carson. I think both of them have a really good shot. You talk about sort of a strong physical player. You talk about a strong mental player. Now they both have a couple comp wins, or at least one comp win under their belt. Like, I think things are definitely like playing very well in their favor. You know, if I were to make a short king list of people who I'm like, yeah, they kind of are beginning to put their resume together. You talk about Danny, you talk about Carson, Carolyn in a weird way, just because like the story is so weird and like her survivorness, her ability to survive is her story rather than winning competitions or something like that. You know, and then we got to do this, Danielle.
What?
Jamie, what are we doing?
What are we doing about her?
Well, I don't know. She's going to do it for herself, because I wrote down, because I got duped this week by the Survivor editors, because the competition was over and Danny goes up to the camera and he's like, well, this is it. Franny's got to go. If there's one person who's 100% going home this week, it's the Fran man. Fran girl, Fran, I'm a Fran stan. It's Franny, whatever. And I was like, well, I was shocked when Franny went home, because they did the whole lead up of like, well, Franny's going home this week. And actually it was, because something happened this week.
They heard your note, Brett, and they were like, we're not going to do this anymore. Now we're actually going to tell you who's going home, because they did that last week too.
Something happened. It didn't happen once. It happened three times this episode, where Jamie was like, guys, the idol, I had it. I don't have it anymore. You can trust me. And every single time, everyone's like, man, that story's stupid. That story's made up. I can't trust this girl as far as I could throw her. And I was like, well, this is like the Jamie tripping on herself. This is how Jamie goes, because she cannot stop announcing to everyone that she used to have an idol, which is true. And it was a fake idol, by the way.
But in her mind.
I know. And every time she says it, it makes everyone like her and trust her less and less. And I was like, I have a little note about it. Oh, gosh. Where is it? She's like, oh, the truth shall set you free. And it's like, girl, you're about to be set free from the responsibilities of playing this game if you just keep opening your mouth. Since episode one, I have found Jamie to be a less than good Survivor player, and this reinforces that. Hashtag Jamie Brett was right.
List. Yes, hashtag Brett was right. It honestly brought me back to like the best season of Big Brother ever, BBOTT, when Morgan, there were secret sisters on the show, and they kept it a secret for the entire show. And Morgan, one of the sisters, was in like the final three, and she was like, it's finally time for me to come clean and tell Chrissy that like Alex was my sister the whole time. And so it's like this very dramatic moment in the bathroom. I remember this clear as day. Okay. And Morgan's like, I just wanted you to know this whole time, like Alex is my sister. And Chrissy is like, oh, okay, thanks for telling me. And then it's like, I can't believe that little bitch would lie to me, trying to make a fool of me. Like, it brought me back to that. Oh, great, great television.
I mean, that is the funny thing, is like, people are so, they're so, you know, kind of hyped up and crazed by the moment, by the game, by the, you know, like the surroundings, by the lack of food, by the competition. Yeah. That someone was like, hey, I'm telling you a truth about my weakness in the game. And they're like, hey, what a liar. What a tall tale.
Tall tale.
I get trust out of here her with less. That.
Yeah, exactly. She's what I was, the game I was playing with myself during this episode was like, because again, I still think there's way too many people left. They need to start doing triple evictions.
There are going to be six, there's going to be like six or seven people left at the start of the final episode.
So
there's,
crazy.
There's yeah, seven people. Yeah.
So no, I was playing the game left. A-list or B-list cast, right? And B-list, also known as Brady's All-Stars. B-list are the people where I'm like, there's no way they're winning because they're under the radar. You don't know enough about them yet. And what you know isn't that impressive or that exciting.
Incorrect.
And then there's the A-list, who are the people who get a lot of screen time, like Carolyn or Jam Jam or Harry Potter. And you think, okay, they're too obvious to win.
We actually only have two B-listers.
Who?
Jamie and Lauren.
Lauren's definitely a B-lister, but so is Heidi. Heidi's a B-lister.
Heidi is the king of the Brady All-Stars. The queen.
But she's a B-list. That's the her being a B-lister makes her the queen of Brady's All-Stars.
This is true. I would say she is the most in between, in betwixt the lists. If there were a letter between A and B, that's where Heidi would live. I grant you that. I still think Heidi is getting a lot of screen time and stuff, and she has an idol still, and like she almost got voted out. But I was kind of crazy. I was like kind of amazed too that like everyone kind of gets along with her, likes her, and then like 5 minutes left in the episode, Carolyn's like, we should just vote out Heidi. And like all the other women were like, yeah, she just doesn't stop like meddling in people's stuff. And I'm like, where was this version of Heidi?
She's still solid B-list to me. Okay. We did get a question from Marco Patino. Which one's Jamie?
Indeed.
Great question. She's exactly the one who ate the worm. I mean, that's what we're going to remember about her from this whole season. It's like worm eater.
And just not having I wouldn't say she has a good strategic grasp of the game or how to communicate to people.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, not like she speaks gibberish or people hate her. I just think she doesn't understand like how other humans perceive her and stuff. And right. Like she doesn't have she used her shot in the dark on the first tribal council. She wasn't in danger at all. She's going around. She cannot stop talking about an idol. Like even mentioning that she used to have an idol means that people were like, man, she must've been searching for that idol. She must've found it in the birdcage. She must've done something else. Even the fact that you don't have an idol anymore shows that you were a gamer at some point and that you're gaming. Like she just does not understand how she comes across and how other people think about, you know, inputs. There's all these inputs in the game. You're like, this person has an idol. This person has an advantage. This person voted for this person. And like she doesn't understand how her doing one thing might make other people think something different about her. Yeah. Nice person, beautiful person. But like, beautiful. I don't think I wouldn't call her like the best social puppeteer, like I wouldn't say she's like, I wouldn't go to therapy with Jamie. I'd have to go to couples therapy.
The best puppeteers this season so far are Harry Potter and Carolyn.
Carolyn is somewhere.
Not because, but she's not a puppeteer in terms of the game of Survivor, more in like the game of life. She's the puppeteer.
But we saw last week she has like this kind of, she has this little Pied Piper thing going on where like people like.
She's a
cult
fixture for sure.
She's a cult. Yeah. I'd join the Carolyn cult. How about.
Oh my gosh.
That part where they're doing the spinny thing and you know, they spin and they have to jump over the net or whatever. And she's just screaming to high heaven. She's just.
I love it. I love funny, anytime. Yeah. Anytime she's on screen, I love it. Because, you know, she's a live wire. You never know what you're going to get with her.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts on Survivor?
R.I.P. Franny.
R.I.P. Franny. But now she and Matt get to, like,
hold hands.
Hook up in the holiday in their Sega.
That's, like, the best. That's the best case scenario, right? You're on Big Brother. You have a romantic connection with someone, and then you both go to jury house. No cameras, no one saying making you have to sleep in this room, making money, reading books.
Yeah, watching Netflix.
Yeah.
Which is actually kind of a punishment. But.
Oh my Lord. You know what? That's a great transition, Danielle. I watched some programming on Netflix. The Big Red Envelope. Ba-dum.
Okay.
I watched some Netflix programming, Danielle, and I did not like it.
What was it?
I watched a show that you recommended called The Diplomat, starring my favorite person, Carrie Russell. That show was bad. That show was
It shows her in her little undies. Didn't you like that?
I didn't even get to the undies. Hey, Google, show me the undies.
It's a network show.
Yeah.
I mean, it's actually very watchable.
It was very much like a CBS. It was very much like a CBS thing where it's like
Madam President.
Carrie Russell. Madam Secretary. She has like a hot husband played by, remember so his name hot. Is Rufus or?
Rufus Sewell.
And okay, it's like serious. It's like 35 British naval sailors died in an explosion in the Middle East. And it's like, well, the president would like to talk to you. And it's really serious. Yeah. And the president is Michael McKean. And he's like, and they're like, we have a super serious mission for you, Carrie Russell. We have to send you to England. And then like the vice president or secretary of state is like, talking with some other guy, and they're like, we gotta get you a girlfriend. Like, it's the tone was crazy. It was so tonally, like,
yeah, the tone off the is map. Inconsistent.
I hated it. I hated it. And I gave up roughly around that scene.
Well, I liked Rufus Sewell being hot. I thought they had great chemistry. It was such a network show, perhaps to its detriment, I guess, for you. But I think that Netflix is actually onto something with making shows like this. This is the type of stuff they should be making.
There's a reason why CBS is number one. We make the stupidest shit that you have that old people watch and don't pay attention to.
Okay. I need to check in with you now that we're talking about streamers. And we just talked about stupid shit that old people watch. What about stupid shit that young people watch? I need the bready take. How excited are you? Because I'm very excited for The Idol coming to HBO soon from the same creator as Brett's favorite show, Euphoria. Yeah. Starring The Weeknd.
and Johnny Depp's daughter.
Yeah, who I hate. Well, I don't hate his daughter. I have nothing against her. Everyone knows I'm anti-Johnny Depp and have been since the beginning. And I feel like the tides are turning in my direction finally. But anyway, I love every trailer I've seen for this show. Everyone in media, I follow a lot of media people on Twitter. Everyone in media people has on like Twitter? A real,
haven't heard of it.
They have a real axe to grind against this show. They're like pissed at this show. They're pissed at The Weeknd. Like, everyone wants to bring this show down, which is kind of why I'm also so interested in seeing it. Every time something new, like a new poster, a new trailer comes out, all the media people I follow are like, this looks horrible. Like, wow, worst writing I've ever seen. I'm like, actually, it looks pretty good. Sorry, guys. Like, you're not going to convince me of this.
I'm down. Like, I'm down to give this show a shot. As we know, I have a very, very tight filter for like what I consider good and what I will like give my mental energy and give my time. That being said, I watched the trailer for this show. I am watching this show until I give up on it. Like, I am not coming into this being like, oh, this is going to suck. I'm like, this might be amazing. It looks
fun. Talking about difference in tonalities. It's like a show about, I'm pretty sure, a cult leader and a pop star and this seedy under LA underbelly, which, you know, Brett loves that.
That's where I live. Drugs. That's where I am right now, in the seedy underbelly.
Look at that light. Look at that blue light. Yeah. Doesn't get more seedy than that. So I just think it looks amazing. I'm so excited for it. It starts June 5th or something, yeah, I think. It starts soon.
Yeah, no, Succession is over in a couple weeks, like three more Sundays. The last Sunday of May is end of Succession, end of Barry. And then next week, new series on the Big the Blue Max. HBO Max. It's going to be Max at that point, whatever. So I'm always going to call it HBO Max. Grandpa,
all right.
What was HBO? Oh, it's Max now.
I just needed to make sure we're on the same page.
We are very
much there.
Everyone
can look forward to our The Idol takes once it launches.
I know you wanted to talk about a new season of Vanderpump and how it rules.
So I just thought it was about time because I watched the most recent episode this morning. Oh, okay. So I just thought it's about time for Brett to just like get what's going on because this is a big pop cultural moment. Like this has reached beyond the Bravo sphere, I feel. So I just wanted you to have an education. And I think you'll relate to this. I'm actually shocked that you're not
Peter
like Sarsgaard, friends of a friend.
You're Peter Sarsgaard. I'm Carrie Mulligan. It's an education, baby.
Yeah, exactly. I'm just shocked that you haven't, like, Brett, you should be friends of friends with the cast of Vanderpump Rules.
I have been to Pump and been like, oh, yeah, this is what Vanderpump Rules, like, and had to explain to me while I'm there what Vanderpump Rules is, and that I was like at the fucking restaurant where they shoot it or club or whatever. I've been there. I want to tell you how much I care about the Vanderpump Ruleverse.
Okay.
A couple years ago, not more than a couple, I was at South by Southwest. Hot. Cool. Hot drop. Ticket. Freddie in the underbelly of Austin this time. Yeehaw. And I'm at an event. And I'm standing at the bar waiting for a beverage of my choosing. And one of my coworkers, I was there for work, one of my coworkers at the time kind of comes up to me like with this shocked look in his face. And he's like, you're standing next to Jax right now. And I'm like, what? And he's like, Jax from Vanderpump Rules. And I'm like, okay. Like,
yeah.
Like, I'm standing next to the fucking queen. Like, I'm standing next to a celebrity that is so big and, like, in commands such reverence that I need to, like, leave standing at the bar because I'm standing right next. I need to be like, excuse me for standing next to you at a bar. I'm like, first of all, he's just a guy. I have no idea what he looks like. I kind of looked around me because I wasn't, like, I guess I was physically standing right next to him, and I didn't even know what I was supposed to be looking for. That being said, it's like, whatever. Like, he's hot and, like, is a waiter somewhere, like, on a restaurant, like, reality show, whatever. And I didn't pay him any attention, and I got my beer and left.
Okay.
Like, that's how whatever. I don't know. I don't know who these people are. I don't watch these shows.
Okay, that's fine. I'm not saying you have to hold them in high esteem. I'm not saying you have to love it. But I am saying this is a absolutely incredible scandal that has happened on this show that I think even
What's the scandal? I didn't even know about this.
In the LA seedy underbelly, this is the scandal for you.
Okay.
So it involves our favorite thing, thruples.
Okay.
Okay, not really, but so let me just break it down really quick. There are two guys on the show named Tom. They both named Tom. They have a restaurant together called Tom Tom. No, my word. And they're opening a new one. They're best friends. One is in a long-term relationship. One is divorced. There's another girl. Her name's Raquel. She is hot, 28, newly single. She starts... they think hooking up with the newly divorced guy. That in and of itself, people are upset about because they were like, he's freshly divorced. His ex-wife is still part of the friend group. Like, can't you find anyone else to try to hook up with? Right. At that point I was like, you know what? He's basically single if they're divorced is my opinion. So I was not anti this.
Basically single. He is legally single.
No, they're in the process. They're not fully divorced yet. Right. But you know, if he's moved out, he's single.
Yeah.
But anyway, it turns out she was actually having an affair with the other Tom.
Everyone's like, she's hooking up with Tom, and they assumed it was the divorced Tom.
No, literally, this is what happened. It's like a comedy of errors, Brett. And so it ends up she's having a full-on affair with a guy who is still in a very serious relationship, lives with her. Like, if they're not married, but it's because they're not into marriage, but basically married. And he's been cheating on her while she's out of town at her dead grandmother's funeral.
And this is just on the TV show?
Yes, but here's the thing. It only came out after the show wrapped that they had been having an affair. It's not during the show up until this point, right? So everyone's watching the show now with the knowledge that they've been having this affair. And so watching it with that knowledge is very fun because you see him like going over to like grab her shoulder. Before you knew this, you might be like, oh, they're just friends. Now you're like, oh my God, he's disgusting sex fiend. And he's just trying to like rub up on her. Like it is, or he'll shoot her a little smile or smirk at her. He buys her a little present because it's her birthday. But it's like, you have a girlfriend. You should be buying her presents.
Girlfriend, you got a wife.
Yeah, she's basically his wife. Anyway, it's just absolutely incredible. The derangement that is being filmed and that you have the knowledge of.
Yesterday, you sent me a TikTok of some reality show and I didn't know what I was watching.
Okay, I sent Fred a clip of of one of the elder statesmen of Vanderpump Rules, Ken. His name's Ken. He's the wife, he's the husband of Lisa Vanderpump of Vanderpump Rules. He comes into the frame and he goes, "I can't believe that Tom had Raquel in the jacuzzi last night." Like, they clearly fed him this line. They were like, "Ken, go into that room and bring up how Sandoval had Raquel in the jacuzzi last night." I mean, this is great stuff. I'm sorry if you can't appreciate camp, Brett.
I appreciate camp stuff. I live at camp. I'm the camp counselor. I got the canoe. I got the zinc on my nose. I love camp. I just like don't understand a lot of this stuff. And in the same way like you could watch football with me and I'm like, he should have taken a knee right there because they have a second timeout. And if they do that, like, what, you know, I just don't understand. I don't understand. Why does this guy being like, "Hey, it's something about a jacuzzi"? Like, I don't understand why that's clearly fed to him. Or, I mean, first of all, everything is clearly fed to anyone. It is essentially a scripted, unscripted show. But
that's why it's incredible, because this truly unscripted thing happened off season, and now we're watching with the knowledge that it happened. And they're just trying to gloss over it. Like, oh, it's just they have an open relationship, maybe. Or LA. She was hooking up with LA. The other Tom. No.
You go on Hinge, no. Everyone's like, "This is my husband. He's hanging around. You want to go out? You want to go to Joshua Tree with both of us?"
No.
No.
No. I think it's from a purely humanological, a humanism perspective. It's very interesting to watch how this all went down, because it truly is the depths of LA depravity.
We are compassionate humanists on this podcast, and that is why we're talking about a throuple on Vanderpump Rules.
I just think it's great. I've been loving it. I'm loving it. I know you'll never watch it, but that's why I just wanted to give you an education on what's going on. Someone cheated on his wife.
Are these like the rules of being in the Vanderpump universe, the Cider House rules, or is it more like Vanderpump Rules?
I think it's both. I think it's meant to be both meanings.
Gotcha.
O'Doyle rules.
Yeah, indeed.
but I just needed you to know. So now you know, this is a red hot thing in the reality TV community.
I bet, though, I will probably use this in like my real life in the next 2 weeks. I'll be out at a bar and I'll be like, "Yeah, so Tom and Raquel, huh?" And everyone's going to think I'm fucking checked
like,
in.
He knows what
I got the pulse of society going into my veins. And I'm going to be like, "I don't know anything beyond what I just said. I'm like someone who speak. I'm like, donde está la biblioteca?" And then I know no more Spanish.
But that's enough. And then you can give your little jacks at South by Southwest story.
And then we've moved on to something else. Man, Brett, he's a fun guy. He knows everything. He knows everybody. He knows jacks.
If there was a huge football controversy, then I would want you to fill me in so that I would have just the top knowledge.
Yeah,
the
so that happened this week.
Skimmed part.
That happened this week. Aaron Rodgers was traded to the Jets a couple weeks ago, and he's been going to all of the Knicks games ever since. And he's been going with various other players on the Jets. Oh. But Aaron Rodgers is 39 years old, and all the other players on the Jets are like 22. So Aaron Rodgers went to the Knicks game the other night, and he was sitting with a young, great second-year cornerback named Sauce Gardner. And Sauce, who's like 22 years old, Jessica Alba was sitting right next to them. And Aaron Rodgers was like, "Jessica Alba, huh? She's, you know, a hot little number." And Sauce Gardner was like, "Who's Jessica Alba?"
Probably. Yeah. Oh, the owner of the Honest Company?
Yeah,
I love their disposable wipes. Like,
so that's the hot stuff happening in football.
That's what's going on. See, that's not even that spicy. Remember when Aaron Rodgers dated Olivia Munn? That was interesting.
And she dumped him for John Mulaney.
Yeah, exactly. Now we're talking.
Yeah.
Okay, I just needed to, that's an educational moment for Brett and for everyone else listening and watching. I also sent Brett another clip. I sent him a clip, and I'll post this clip from on our Twitter and put it in our Discord as well. But I was just reminded of this, maybe because I was thinking about like the writer's strike and like writing. But I was reminded, and like, late night shows are now on pause. You know what I used to watch after late night shows? Infomercials. But one specifically came to mind. And I just want to remind people of the Magic Bullet infomercial, where it's like a full-on play. I mean, it's like an hour long, maybe longer than that, play of like a couple making breakfast for their hungover friends. And they give all of this exposition and all this, like, one character is really hungover. One character is an old maid with a cigarette and her name is Hazel. And throughout all of this interesting plot, like, it's fascinating. I'm like, who are these people? Why do they all sleep over? They're adults. They could have, I guess it was before.
Maybe they're rich. Maybe they're rich. Like,
yeah, they're in this amazing kitchen.
If you're rich and you live in the Hamptons, come stay at my place for, like, it's Memorial Day weekend.
It, yeah, maybe know. It was that. It must have been that. But it's a couple couples and then the old maid.
Hazel.
with a huge cigarette. And they're all hungover from partying the night before. And they just make them 18 different breakfasts because they have so many magic bullets. And let me tell you, I own a magic bullet and I think it's fabulous.
I have a ninja. I have a ninja.
They're both good.
I resort to more hand-to-hand combat where I do prefer firearms, you know?
I'm going to post this. I need to know other people remember this and love this infomercial as much as I do. This brought me back to, like, summers as a child.
I mean, you sent me this link and you're like, Magic Bullet, right? And I'm like, this is definitely a, not like an infomercial that's like a 30-second or a 1-minute infomercial. Like,
no, it's feed this fully
elephant.
Thought out.
This elephant is going to die. And then the TV show comes back. It's the one where it's like a full hour long or half hour long show program that's just selling one thing.
It's a fleshed out infomercial, fully fleshed out.
You know how they're doing, I think they either shot it or they're shooting it. They're making The Room, the Tommy Wiseau's The Room. They remade Tommy Wiseau's The Room with, I believe, like, pretty much all of the original cast, but Bob Odenkirk is playing Tommy Wiseau and he's playing it incredibly, he's like playing it super straight.
Why are they doing this?
Because it's a funny idea, I guess.
I think they should do a making of this infomercial.
That's what I'm saying.
I actually would like to buy the rights.
Get DiCaprio. Get Streep. Get, you know, Cumberbatch.
Let's do
the Magic Bullet an hour through, you know?
I think it would be absolutely incredible. Like, the script is so good. And the acting is actually pretty good. Like, the host, for some reason, the husband is British. Why is he British? I just need to know the answers. I'm like, I could watch this. I'm going to watch this. After we stop this call, I'm going to go watch it again. Good. See, and that's replay value, rewatchability. That's a big thing people forget about. And then it got me thinking, another one I talked to Brett about. Sorry, but I have to say it. The Slap Chop.
Yeah. Everyone knows Slap Chop. Everyone knows Slap Chop, okay. And they know apply directly to the forehead. Head on.
Okay, but Slap Chop, do you remember what he says in the Slap Chop? He's basically negging you for like 10 minutes straight. He's like, your life is boring. Like, stop being boring. He's also like, you need to eat more vegetables. Like, he's being very insulting throughout the commercial, but in a very charming way. I mean, like,
all
Long
these
Island
are about
way.
Like, you're missing something. The only reason you are not drinking smoothies, everyone who you know is hot drinks smoothies. And the only reason you're not doing it is because you have a regular blender. Look at, you gotta clean it. Look at all the blades in there. You're gonna chop your fingers off. You need a magic bullet.
I also love that it's called a bullet, like, so American.
Yeah,
like, you couldn't call it like the magic unicorn. It has to be a bullet. Everything has to be gun related. We love our troops. I needed to bring this up. I know this is so far off from.
This is where we live. This is what we podcast about. We don't podcast about this stuff.
I really think I need to buy the rights to this commercial.
I think that's a great idea, and I fully support getting a bunch of like Steppenwolf actors to do it.
Oh my gosh, Michael Shannon as the British guy. There's a guy who's wearing a full suit coming to breakfast after, and he only the like tie is loosened. And it's like, you partied so hard last night wearing your suit that you couldn't even get, you didn't take it off to go to bed, and you didn't take it off when you woke up in the morning hungover. You're still wearing your suit with just a slightly loosened tie. And why are they all friends with Hazel? Where did she come from? She's
we actually have to like just watch this and do a YouTube video about this.
Yeah, it's like pop-up video because it's just it's incredible stuff.
Speaking of one guy randomly being British, do you have any thoughts on your new king or whatever?
Charles. King Charles was coronated today. No, and I'm also like, I can't believe you brought this up because my husband was also bringing this up. And I'm like, I don't care. You're the one who's British. Yeah. I know I'm
Canadian. You're a subject.
Like, I guess I did see a Canadian like news Twitter account outlet that was like, in the past, Charles has said he feels Canada in his blood. It's like, we always have to find a way to be like, Canada is important too.
Yeah.
Canada is involved.
I don't know. I'm sure that same, I'm sure that same article is being like, there's a version of it in Australia or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. No, I don't care. I'm team Meghan.
No,
you know,
I mean, so. Here's the thing. I didn't know this was like, I thought this happened already or whatever. Like when mm-hmm. she dies, he becomes the king, right? Like,
right.
So he's been king for like 6 months.
But this is the official, like he got the crown, he got the scepter or whatever. He sat on the chair.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't, like, I assumed that had happened already. And I wake up this morning and there's just like a ton of content about like, here's his like ceremonial
they had to plan it.
Shirt or whatever.
Yeah.
And people are getting arrested in the streets or whatever. I just didn't know about any of this. And I woke up today. I'm like, oh, I guess this is the inauguration today. I don't know. The election was 6 months ago, but, you know, we're doing it today.
Yeah. Yeah. Good for them.
Really?
That's all I can say.
Actually good for them? No, not really. Who cares?
Not really. Yeah. Thank you all for your questions and comments, for watching along with us on this wild journey we've taken. I laughed so hard. I'm like,
hold on. We do have a question from the internet.
Okay.
Good hair person says, going on record that Puffins, the cereal, is really good. I had not heard of it before, but I tried it based on Danielle's recommendation, peanut butter, of course. I wonder if they make a chocolate flavor.
Okay. Actually, I think they do, but it's only in select stores.
I have been to supermarkets since we've recorded, and I have not seen a single Puffin or a single Martha.
You're not looking in the right place. You're looking at the garbage cereal. You're looking at like Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
I'm looking at American top line AAA cereals.
No, this is like you have to go to Whole Foods.
Oh, my Lord. I went to a Whole Foods like 2 months ago, and it was a nightmare. It was a nightmare. I could
yeah, not Whole Foods has gone downhill, actually. Or no, there isn't a chocolate one. Maybe I just saw it in my dreams. I'm on the Barbara's.com official website. But there is cinnamon. Cinnamon's okay.
Yeah.
Peanut butter is clearly the best. I'm glad that you tried it out. And I really think, Brett, you should try it too once you finally find some. Go to Erewhon.
You know what? Maybe when I see you in a couple months, you'll pour me a bowl.
Oh my gosh. Should we make the announcement? Brett is officially making his first royal trip to Toronto.
10 times that Brett has thought about Canada and what that means for the next 100 years of Anglo-Canadian relationships.
He's coming. So we're going to do a live. Are we? We should, right? Do a live podcast.
I don't know. It's going to look shitty. I was thinking that might be an audio only exercise, but.
We won't do that. We'll take a selfie and we'll post it in Discord. Yeah.
Wish you were here. But not telling you our address. Don't want to hang out with you.
He's coming to Toronto. It's going to be great. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, after you came to LA this year, the 1 week I was gone.
And notably did not see you. Well, gang, thank you all so much for listening, for being here. You can always check out our Discord. We'll retweet the invite code, invite your friends. And we'll be back next week with some more Hey Jeffy.
Bye, Jeffy.
Bye, Jeffy.